Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show. Dr. Price, what's the word?
Well, the word is, number one, can spring come? Can we get a real spring? I want to start with the basic words, you know, the basics of life. I am so surprised that we are mid-March and it is chilly, but I don't want to fuss too much because the later we start our spring, maybe the shorter our summer will be. I don't know. It's my own theory. I haven't proved it, barely tested it, but it sounds right.
One can hope.
But nonetheless, we're still keeping our majority sunny Thursday track record.
Yes, we are. It's beautiful. The other day we did hear birds chirping right on cue. We were talking about spring. The birds started chirping. It was like something out of a Disney movie.
I know it. But, you know, here is our favorite day of the week. God knows I love Thursdays. I love being with the Lord. And I love coming up on Thursday to be with the family. You know, since I've been discovering, Ashley, how much God did to make us a family, my passion has really grown, intensified, for us understanding and relating to each other as the family of God. You know, it's interesting because people don't often say that God is their relative. But how many, you know, these folks out here today need to know God's our relatives. Jesus Christ, we're related by blood. He's our blood relative. And if he is, that's something powerful. And so, you know, Ashley, I've been in the middle of writing my book. Now, I'm not going to give him the title because, you know, it's going to be a giveaway. But, you know, I've been in this, my goodness, what has it been, like 3 months or so, writing my latest book, which is, I believe, and Ashley, I'll let you do it without giving away the store, but which I believe will, a lot of issues in Christianity will answer questions and fill in blanks that people have had. These blanks are what hold people up. They're blanks that make them wonder, well, is it worth it? Is it not worth it? What's sin? What's not a sin? What is God's problem? Is heaven real? Is heaven not real? Is earth, is hell real? Is there really a hell? Or is hell on earth? And so all of these are covered in this book. And the bottom line is that we would begin to not only appreciate our faith, but to contend for it in ways that bring God glory. And so I was just thinking, Ashley, over this last couple of times, you had a sneak peek at what I'm working on. So you want to share without giving the secret sauce away?
Well, I couldn't give the secret sauce away, I think, even if I tried. But I think a sneak peek is a bit much. I had a sneak blink as to what you were doing because I have not had too much insight, actually, now that I think about it, into what you are doing. But I do know one of my favorite things about your ministry is you tackle what most people avoid, which is the blank spot, the hole in what we know, what we don't know, and what we don't know, understand, and don't understand. So I'm excited about this book coming out. I know it's going to be one of those, I just could not put this book down, read, because it is, people say it about your training manuals. I mean, I picked up the dictionary, read it from cover to cover, picked up the handbook, couldn't put it down, had to put it down and come back a couple of times to get through it. But I know this book is really going to capture the wider body of Christ because it is relevant to everyone directly. When you're talking about God, when you're talking about our salvation and some of the array of topics that are covered in your book, everybody who names the name of Jesus or doesn't can say something. Some people who are unsure will probably be very sure by the end of this book why they are or are not choosing Christ. And so it's powerful. Just the concept is powerful. And I can't wait to get my copy. I say it every morning. I want my copy. So come on.
You do. I think about it every day. I say, you know, I'm thinking I'm getting pressured because you're my subtle gold in the back. I can't wait for the book to be done. I just want it to be finished. And the reason I'm mentioning it is because it's a little bit of a segue into what I want to discuss today. But I also would like to just kind of whet people's appetite for something that has not been tackled in our vein. And Ashley, you're right. It goes into all of those cracks and crevices of our faith that we kind of gloss over. We put a cloth over the scratch. We'll put a vase over the hole in the table. We'll put a piece of furniture over another hole in the floor. We'll put a rug over a stain. But we don't want to address it. And I am so surprised. The reason I'm mentioning it today is beyond, you know, just being informative, is that God is getting ready to take the world by storm. Now, you know, Jesus has been laid back for so many years, you know, and he's pretty much let us run on autopilot for a lot of years. We've been running on autopilot in the Holy Ghost. God gave the Spirit of God in the planet a mandate to maintain. And so he's maintaining, he's keeping what's coming in, and he's maintaining it. And there's not a whole lot of overt involvement. I mean, we've had these little spit fires and spats and things like that that claimed to be the next move of God, and well, they weren't, but it sounded nice when we were saying it. But God himself has spoken to me over and over again. He is getting ready to move in this planet. He's getting ready to move in this world, and he says to tell you he's going to shake it up as he shakes out what is or is not him. We are coming truly down to the last days. This is not a statement as to the coming of the Lord and we're all going to get caught away. No, we're not going to get caught away anytime soon, because there's a whole lot of stuff that God really does not want us to bring to his borders. There are some things God does not want us as saints to bring to his shores. And so this next move is a major washing. This outpouring is a major washing, if you will, a scrubbing of the body of Christ and a drenching of the world with an opportunity to be saved from this untoward generation. And so God is getting ready to do some amazing things. And it won't be a little splat here and a little spot there and a little splash over here and, okay, so-and-so over here. And despite all of the prophecies you've heard about, the next move of God is going to be with a whole group and a council. God has never moved with a council, has never has, never will. He starts with one, and then one adds two and adds two and adds two. And so he goes 1, 3, 5, 9, 12, and on we go. So you're going to see God do some things that we've forgotten that he can do, and this generation has not heard that he can do. You know, I've been ministering. I've been posting on Facebook. Some of you have probably followed it. I've been posting on Facebook about the Joshua generation and the power of heaven's manna. That's where the whole essence was, the power of heaven's manna. And every time I've known God to move, it starts with his word. It always starts with God's word. And so I asked God, maybe 5 years ago, probably a little less, but I asked the Lord once, I said, well, God, how is it that now that the church is global, we have Jews and Gentiles and everything, we got all these cultures and whatever, and so I said, how are you going to strike a move intelligently? Because most moves in today's time are not intelligent because they're emotional, they're sentient. I mean, most of the moves that we've had are sentient. But when I read the Bible says God's moves are first intelligent. They start with the Logos, and then they move into the Rhema, and then they move into Charismata. See, that's usually that's the Bible method. First, let me just give you a message. I send my messenger before your face to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. I'll send my messenger before your face. So the first thing is a message, and message automatically speaks to intelligence. So you're going to get the logic of God. Why is God moving? Why is heaven cutting up? Why are they involving themselves in my life? Why are they imposing themselves on our world? What is it? So all of that kind of is what shows in Scripture. From the time God started his moving all the way to the end, he has always kicked off a genuine move with his word. Now, I don't think that a lot of what happened was not God. Some of it wasn't. But sometimes God just treats us, and we call it a movement. He's just treating some things. Sometimes he's refreshing, and we call it a revival. You know, all refreshment doesn't revive. And so there are some times that it's been a refreshing. And so these, the last several things that we all can attest to, where it was genuine presence and genuine acts of the Holy Ghost, they were refreshing. But restoration and restitution and all of that, that starts with the Bible's model. It always starts with the move. God spoke a word to Adam. He spoke to even the serpent. He spoke to the woman. He spoke to Noah. He spoke to Abraham's dad and then spoke to Abraham. And then down the line to all of the 12 patriarchs. And so God does everything by his word, and it's amazing that we're expecting God to move mightily in the earth without saying anything. That's kind of a little bit backwards, you know? So we expect God to show off mute. We want a mute God doing great exploits. Now, we don't. That means we don't know what he's doing. We don't know what to expect from what he's doing. We don't know how we're to entreat it or benefit from it because, well, we won't let him speak. He's just going to do things. He's going to wave this arm, and thousands are going to lay out in the spirit, and he's going to breathe, and folk are just going to get healed, and we'll hear, and he's going to play a lot of songs and a lot of music, and then we're just going to turn out the lights and light some candles and soak in we don't even know what. Call that a move. But that is not biblical, and you need the Bible for Almighty God. Now, you don't need the Bible for devils, and you don't need the Bible for spirits. You don't need the Bible for experience, because those are all feelings, and they do not have any responsibility to your intellect. But you need the scriptures for God, because that is where God put himself, and that's where he commanded his hosts to be moved by, to govern his world. So you need that. And it's amazing. We want all of this move of God, and we don't want the word. And nobody thinks that it's really ironic that the one thing the church can't agree on is God's word. What thus says the Lord? That's amazing. And nobody has not yet said, you know, there's something wrong with that, because in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And the word was made flesh, and the word came unto his own, and his own received him not, and the word, and the word, and the word. Now, if it's about that, then why is it that that's a place of division and schism? To whose advantage is it that the word divides? Now, I understand that a sword is supposed to cut. That's true. I'm with you all day long, and the word is symbolic of a sword, but it's also symbolic of a lot of other things. But when I read Hebrews 4, it's 1, 1, 1, 1, and 1 for unity. Now, you know, it's nice to say that, you know, sword cuts. I need scissors to cut my hair, but I probably don't want to cut my finger. So I kind of need what's going to unify me, keep my blood flowing in one vein. So God is going to move by his word, but it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge because we got, like, you go to church, we can't even read in unison any longer. Any of you all listening to us now, you ever hear people say, okay, read that verse as one? You can't do that ever again. We can never read in unison again because we've got too many translations. So that automatically tells us that's a real big red flag that we can't read in unison in church. We can't quote the same song in church because, well, they're all different, and different people saw it different ways. And that's fine. The Holy Spirit was here to maintain. But understand this. There is a move of God coming where our options are getting ready to be restricted. They're going to be shrunken. A lot of options, a lot of liberties are going to be reduced and diminished. A lot of independence is going to be curtailed because God's got to do something to get the entire body of Christ under his wing again, under his auspices, under the auspices of the Holy Ghost. And he starts with his word. When I read, and I know a lot of saints don't read the Old Testament, which is unfortunate, very unfortunate because, you know, if you don't read the Old Testament, then you are saying that you yourself get to fill in the blanks from the New. or left by the new. And the New Testament makes no sense without the Old, and the Old Testament makes no, gives you no comfort without the new. So you need all of it. And you know, God didn't break it in testaments. God broke it down into eras. The age of, he did. He broke it in the, he didn't say testament, because he felt like his testament to Israel was just as powerful as his testament to the church, because one without the other is useless. You know, it's wonderful to read about Moses in the New Testament, but could you find out who he is? It doesn't tell you enough about Moses in the New Testament for you to understand. And I'm stunned that people are so comfortable with reading half the book. Can you imagine trying to get a degree on half your education? Okay, this is your major text, but you only need to do half of it, and I'm going to test you on the whole thing, because God's going to test you on the whole thing, but you only need to read half. And so, but now in this new move, what God is getting ready to do, he's going to force us to take the whole thing. We're going to have to take the entire plan, the entire prescription, because when I read the Old Testament, getting back to where I was headed, every time God wanted to bring his people back together again, he brought them back together with his word. He sent the priest out teaching the truth. He sent the prophets out prophesying the truth. He sent the judges out judging the truth. He said everything, but it all began with his word. You couldn't, God did not start with a move. And if he did start with a move, it was very unpleasant. If he started with actions, it was unpleasant because he was already disturbed. So it wasn't always this wonderful thing. God is just thrilled with you. We're going to see signs. We're going to see wonders. And they're going to be measurable, identifiable, and definable. They're going to be God. We're not going to have long debates about whether or not this that was God, because God is making us come through the gate of wisdom and intelligence, of wisdom and knowledge. We're not coming through the gate of experience. We're not coming through the gate of just wonders of God. We're going to start at the wisdom of God. Then we're going to move into the knowledge of the Almighty. And that's what's going to stun people. And that's what's reaching people. Today, people are like, okay, I've seen enough exploits. You feel like you go into a carnival in half of these churches. Half of these things are like a carny trip, you know? And so now God is saying, that's all right. That's not saying you're not going to see crazy, because, you know, you're going to get those people who, I don't care what you say, this is how I want it, and that's fine. You know, when God poured out his spirit and on the 70 elders, you know, he picked them and everything. Two didn't want to come in to get it. Two wanted to stay out. He just, and so God put his spirit out there, but they got the spirit and not the wisdom. They didn't know what God was doing. It would be interesting to hear the story about how their lives were, okay? God does that all the time. He tells Israel, go in there, so that we understand that they're folks that God counts his own losses first. So we go in there, and he says to Israel, go take over this and that, and Dan decides, I don't want to fight with the Amorites. I mean, come on, they make sense. They like us. We like them. We don't want the bloodshed. We don't want the tension. So they live with them, and they live with the Amorites until the Amorites took back their land. You can come on down the line, and you can see when the Lord Jesus picks 12 apostles, same thing. And I want to mention to you, because the Danites never got rid of the Amorites, when you read the book of Revelation, the Danites are the tribe that's not mentioned. They are replaced. Why are they replaced? Because they got absorbed in the people that they didn't want to remove. They did not want to rule over it, so those people reabsorbed. Those people took back their land and absorbed that entire tribe, ultimately in terms of God's eternal mind. So we got book of Revelation. They're not mentioned. You look at it, and you know, 12,000, 12,000, 12,000, 12,000 in Revelation 7. Why? And so there we go. Jesus comes. He gets 12 apostles. And what does he say? Where y'all is the devil? Now, here's an interesting part. You will prove, since one of you all is a devil, he chose Judas. And I watched a little science thing that said Judas really was helpful and he wasn't a betrayer. Well, he was a betrayer and he was helpful, because Judas was the only one whose heart was so cold to Jesus Christ that he could betray him. See, because everybody else belong to Christ. And if you belong to Jesus, you just can't cheat on him. You just can't betray him. If he's really your God, you had a real conversion, he is the love of your life. You cannot cheat on him. And if you make a mistake, oh, my gosh, you almost need to go to the emergency room. Your heart's so broken, soul so torn down, you don't know how to come back. Why? Because he's real to you. So he has to have Judas, because a lot of people wonder, well, why do you have Judas? Because Judas was the only one callous enough, self-serving enough to sell him out. And the call of Jesus Christ to the planet was to get to hell, not just stop at earth. Earth was a pass-through. It was a stopover. It's the pass-through, because Jesus could not go to hell as a victim if he had not come in flesh. He had to take flesh so that he could die and earn the right, the privilege, the right, the sentence of going to hell. And a lot of people don't know that. Many saints don't know that Jesus even went to hell. That's why they don't think they're going. You know, I'm not going to hell because, I mean, Jesus paid it all. No. He did not pay it all from the throne. He paid it all from the cross. In the throne, he judged it. Hallelujah. But on the cross, he lived it. He experienced it. And so he goes and he has to have Judas. If there was no Judas, Jesus would not have been betrayed and nobody could kill him. Death wouldn't put on him. He'd still be here today, but we wouldn't be, but he'd be here today, running around, still preaching, and there'd be no church. Now, and that's, you know, just in a theoretical context. So then Jesus goes, Judas kills himself, just to let you know that there are always going to be opt-outers, people who opt out. And that's okay. Or the only thing we want to make sure that they understand is what they're opting out of. You know, a lot of companies, when you opt out, they say, now you realize that the minute you do this, this, and this are denied you. You don't get access. You don't get privilege. You don't get entitlements. You don't get anything. But, hey, opt on out, because we do not want to deprive you of your free will right to opt out. So people opt out of eternity all the time. They opt out of Jesus Christ, and that's okay. But we need to recognize that God has that in the plan too. So then we have Judas, and then Jesus rises from the dead, comes back to the planet, spends 40 days and 40 nights training the apostles. And have any of you all noticed who wasn't in that circle, the replacement? For 40 days, he worked with 11 apostles. Remember, Dan, the tribe, is gone too. He worked with 11 apostles, 11. We do not get the 12th one until after they're ready and the Holy Ghost is about to come. They're waiting for the Holy Ghost, as Jesus said, and along the way, Jesus tells Peter, oh, by the way, you guys need a 12th one. You need a 12th apostle. Go get one. And they vote in Matthias. Now, here's Matthias. This is important. He was not in any of the closed session trainings. He was not in any of the special things with the original 12 other than what was public. But what Jesus secluded for his apostles, he did not include them in it. And then Jesus comes back, the glorified Christ. He's back now on the throne. And what does he do? He has a 40-day training program with 11 apostles. Why? Because he already made provisions for the people to opt out. I don't want it. People act like Judas did not get a fair shot. Judas proved who he was. Now, God knew who he was. He said, that I not choose you 12, and one of you is a devil. So he chose him, because God has no problems. If he didn't create the devil, he wouldn't have any problems. So he had to have somebody who dealt that. So here's what I want you to get. God starts everything with his word. There's a lot of things that we just impose upon God. We assume upon him because we listen to the pastors or the teachers or the Bible teachers or whatever the minister is. It doesn't even matter. But whichever one they are, we listen to their favorite pieces of story, or we listen to the pieces that they can tolerate or what they picked up along the way. But you yourself are measured on the whole thing, just like God measured them on the whole law. He measures us on the whole counsel of God. We are not to, God's not going to just play around and say, well, you know, God, I saw that, but that just, you know, that wasn't one of my favorite parts at all. As a matter of fact, you know, I was kind of thinking that the interpreter, translator took literary license, and maybe it didn't belong there. You know, we think because people edit the scriptures and take out what they want that the Spirit of God doesn't know what he said and doesn't know what he wrote. The reason we have the Holy Spirit is because of the law of sin and death that is no longer in us but still functioning in the world. We have to accept the Holy Spirit tells you the whole truth. That's why he is the Spirit of truth. Jesus said that in his gospel. He talks about it in all of them. He said, but he's the Spirit of truth. And in John's gospel, he's going to tell you things to come. He's going to tell you of me. The Holy Spirit is who offsets the error in humanity and the deception of devil. God knows that the enemy is going to impose error. He's going to seduce people, blindside folk, blind people's eyes, block their intelligence, pump up their biases, all of those kinds of things, inflame their emotions. He knows that. But the Holy Spirit in you is one that will tell you what thus says the Lord. And only will he will only do it according to what he wrote. So you can read it all day long, or you can listen to your folks say, well, you don't need the word because you got the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you need the word because you don't know what the Holy Ghost is saying. He's not talking your language. And if he is, he's not speaking what you want to hear. So we need the Spirit and the word must agree. And in order for God to move, he's going to start with his word, a real, an enduring, I'll say this word, an enduring move of God will always be based on scripture, will always be based on taking us back to where it all began. In the beginning was the word. So God moving, especially when he's ready to shift eras, he's ready to close out one aspect of his dispensation and open another one, he is going to do it through his word. And he's going to come up with one or two anchoring passages upon which he builds his entire restoration of scripture and doctrine for us to move in that era. So you all had better know God started with the word. That's why he's talking to you differently. Some of you all are like, I didn't know that was in the Bible. I hear that all the time. Was that in there? Where was that in there? Well, and this book that I'm finishing up, I got two more chapters. You guys pray for me. Pray for me to get these two chapters done. All right? Well, actually one and a half. I already got one of them done. But you're going to see a lot of things in the word of God that are fascinating, intriguing, and that are very captivating that you have not heard preached. And you're going to see a lot of enigmas and mysteries unfolded in this book because God is looking for folk like you and me who want to go back to the source file. See, our doctrine has gotten crazy because we're off the source file. We're away from the source. You know, so we can say all kinds of things. We can have stupid little TV shows and dumb little doctrines. We can follow idolatrous rituals. We can do crazy things in a man's pulpit, crazy things in his church. Why? Because we are severed from the host. And the Holy Ghost is the host. And we are severed from the host. And so when you are, then you don't have an orbit. You're out of orbit. You're floating any old kind of way. And whatever you pick up along the way, if it doesn't kill you, it's going through you. And so we're just going to stay with it. But when you go back to the word, you're literally going back to the source. You're going back to in the beginning. In the beginning, God. And in the beginning, God was the word. And every time God brings his people back under the mothership, and he brings us back into the host of heaven, the host of heaven. God does it through his word. And so you are going to see, we are going to experience Jesus in a different way. We're going to experience him talking to us differently, and he's going to be very pronounced in our lives. He's going to be very bold, and he's almost going to seem like he's dispassionate to us, and he isn't. He's on assignment. He's coming in to retrieve and recover. And whenever you're on a recovery plan, whenever you're in a recovery zone and you're trying to pull something back, you don't have time to play. So you're going to meet the no-nonsense side of the Lord. He's not going to be just Daddy God sitting in his rocking chair. You're going to meet the man who said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's a warrior statement, and that's a warrior king's decree. And so we're going to meet the warrior Christ. We're going to meet the man who has been working since way back till now to bring his word to pass. God promised us that nothing that was given him would be lost and that no one would be able to snatch us out of his hand. Those are not just comfortable things. He's not just holding this in his hand because nobody wants you. He's holding us in his hand because everything wants you and everything wants you out of it. And in order to keep somebody from snatching something out of your hand, you must ball up your fist. And there are times that you have got to defend yourself. And we're going to see the Lord Jesus defend what's in the palm of his hand. And we're going to watch him by his spirit and by the heavenly host, because he has dispatched unbelievable, unprecedented numbers of angels into the planet. They're offloading even as we speak. They're flooding this planet because the king is coming to keep his word. Even if you don't want to stay saved, just because you don't want to stay saved doesn't mean God wants to lose the church. And that's the two frustrating things we don't realize. I don't care how many people complain about the church. I don't like it. I'm sad. I'm broke down. We singing all these little dumb songs about this man's church like it's not his body. And so we think because we don't care about it or because it's failed us that God doesn't want it or that God can't recover it. But I'm telling you, what we're about to live in this next several years, this generation is going to be a side of heaven we've not seen and an aspect of heaven we have never encountered. And I'm going to tell you something. It won't just be shocking to us. It's going to be shocking to everything on the planet, because heaven is going to show this earth belongs to the Lord. It's going to show this kingdom is God. And I'm telling you this because I'm prophesying it over the air. God is getting ready to bully his way in. We're going to see him exercise sovereign eminent domain. This is my world, is what I want to do. I want to move a continent, my continent is going to move. I want a mountain cast in the sea, it's going into the sea. I want to retrace the lines, the geographic lines, and even the geopolitical lines of the planet. I'm going to do that. I don't want this nation, it shall no longer be. I want a new nation, I'm going to set it up. This is the word of the Lord. God himself is getting ready to push into our world, but he's also getting ready to exercise the dominion of the possessor of heaven and earth. We're getting ready to deal with the possessor dominion of God, and that's a whole different kind of God. Now, it's not a matter of, well, we just want to keep everybody peace. We went from David, who wore it, to Solomon. And not long after Solomon, we back in the war zone. Why? Because God says, upon this rock, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is the only one who doesn't know that Jesus Christ owns this thing, and that he has faced off with the gates of hell before, and he has always won. Always won, and he will win this. I can say it because of the research that I've done, and now having finished this work, I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, we don't know you at all, Jesus. We don't have a clue about you. And so God wants you to know, and he says to the earth, get ready, because I'm setting you up for a firestorm from the heavens. I'm setting you up for the cloud of witnesses from the heaven. I'm setting you up for a cloud storm from the heaven. The heavens are going to overshadow this planet where God's will be done, and it won't be an effort. He won't care. I'm going to bully the devil. I am bullying the ranks of darkness. I am bullying them. I'm bogarting my way. I'm pushing in, and I'm bombarding the world with my will. And my son's will, I'm telling you, Jesus is no longer going to sit back silent. The time for him to do this is now. When you read the book of the Epistle of James, there's an interesting statement that he makes. And he says, when sin is full grown, then it brings forth death. When bad ideas begin to kill a lot of people, God acts. When bad cultures and bad customs begin to overrun life, God acts. So He has said to me the issues that have been destroying the planet have come to maturity. Their maturity means that humanity can no longer handle them, and heaven has to step in. And so God is getting ready to step in. Now, I promise you, by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, and every one of his angels listening to me, this word of mine is assured, and this word will come to pass. The Lord God of hosts will no longer be a portrait on your wall, a candle on your altar, or a statue on your mantle. He is getting ready. He is, even as we speak, taking on the fullness of his persona and the authority that goes with it. So we are going to see God, and it's starting with this word. And for the people who don't know his word, you won't have a clue what he's talking about. You won't have a clue what he's doing. So what he's about to do is going to make you a victim instead of a victor. And because God's going to do God, and he's doing it in a way that we have not recorded. I'm telling you, keep your journals out, keep your cameras going, keep your recorders going, because he's going to show off. And he doesn't care about what's in place. Trust me, he doesn't care. And you can tell when God wants to move, he will move, because when he wants a storm, he doesn't care what's important. He doesn't care what's important to us. He already gave us a chance to keep him from acting like that. We didn't take our chance. So now he's going to act. He said, for my own name's sake and for the sake of my son's glory. Now, this is how I'm going to end this comment today. No matter what you feel about your rights as a Christian, no matter what your preacher says, your pastor tells you, the prophet speaks, it doesn't matter. No matter what the donkey says, the raven speaks, it does not matter at all. God's first and highest covenant is with his son, Jesus Christ. God's first beloved is his son, Jesus Christ. God's first reward and the Father's first duty and responsibility is to his son, to the son that got up, throne, and glory, came down in the darkest of human hours, made in flesh, left his sovereignty, left his dominion, left all of his godness at home, and came down to take upon himself flesh. That same man who decided to allow himself to be beaten by hands that he made, whipped by materials that he created, hung on a cross made of trees that he grew, to go to hell to get you. Because the problem was never earth. The problem was always hell. God sent his son to battle not on the planet. That's why on the planet he got a very, very bad rep. But in the afterlife, it all makes sense. And in his afterlife, Jesus' afterlife explains everything about him. It tells the whole story. And so he brings this man to earth to say, the Son of Man came to give his life for a ransom. The Son of Man came to spend 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The Son of Man came to spend 3 days and three nights in hell. Over and over again, he came according to what he told David in Psalm 16. He came to go to hell. Listen to me, people, because you need to stop telling folk that God gonna save the devil. He did not get, listen, if he sent Jesus, you know the devil ain't getting out. That there is no heaven or hell, because you cannot say there's no heaven or hell and people are dying. Nobody wants to bury their mom, their dad, their sisters, their brothers, not even your pets. But you can't stop it. And why can't you stop it? Because there is someplace else for this body to be. Now, you can say, I don't believe in hell because whatever, but here's what I want to say to you. Death is too ugly for hell to be better. People die ugly ways. They die ugly death. It's savage. It's cruel. It's brutal. It's deteriorating. It's corrupting. It's debilitating. The way God gets us out of here is a clue to what happens when we're over. And so you cannot convince me that you're going to go into some peaceful resting place when God brings, listen, the people who did not go, look at Elijah. He didn't go, he didn't rot, he just went on up with God. Look at Moses, went on up with God. Look at Enoch, went on up with God. All the Old Testament saints, they had one of two places to go, the bosom of Abraham, where it was wonderful and cozy, or the fire. all of those in the bosom of Abraham, because they have, were pleased God, and he created a warm, fuzzy place. But think about this. That place doesn't exist any longer. You're not going to tell me that the reason that I got to go out of here beat up and ugly is because God wants to prove to me that it's a better place. No, no, no. Hell got to be ugly because the grave is wretched, and hell and grave belong to each other. See, hell owns the grave, and the grave owes hell. So don't believe that. Go into Acts chapter 2. Read from, I think, 31 or 32 onward. You'll see your Savior did not buy you back on the planet. He bought you back from hell. And he's, because of that, he said, listen, if you want to spend forever with me, come home. If you don't, it's all right. The whole idea, and I'm saying this in the end, actually, because then I'm going to, you know, wrap it up, but I'm going to say this. That whole story that we've told evangelically is not true. We need to stop telling people that Jesus would have died for one man to get them to the. He did not die for one man. If he were going to die for one man, he would have. He did not. He had an opportunity to die from Adam, die for Adam when Adam ate from the tree. He did not. So obviously he needed to die for many. And why did he need to die for many? Because whosoever will, let him come. Sperms can't make their will known. Eggs can't make their will known. People make their will known. So you have got to think a lot differently about your salvation. And this whole idea that we can do what we want and God will clean it up later, you need to, when this book comes out, I promise you, two-thirds of you will never think that again. I am so convinced that you will never think that again, because there is a rational reason why God will not bring all this trash back to his house. So, Ashley.
Lord Jesus. I am talking to myself right now. Woo! Wow. We went to eternity and back, people. I hope you understand that. I wish I could be sitting in some people's homes, and I feel bad for the people at work who can't scream out and talk because they're undercover listening to the show anyway. Man, I honestly, I just don't even know what to say because you went so many places. But that whole piece on death and hell, though, that, Dr. Price, finish the book.
I know. See, there you go again. I'm typing as fast as I can, but you know, I got to get it right. And God has so many pieces to throw in here that he won't let me just go head on and say, it doesn't matter. God is laying out his case, and he is saying, I want you to know my love has nothing to do with what I can live with. See, you can love a lot of things that you can't live with. You have a lot of loves you can't take home. People committing adultery may love that other person, but they can't take them home.
Well.
So, I mean, you can't love. I mean, come on now. There are people who carry affairs on forever and ever, can't take them home. And guess what? Can't give them the inheritance.
Wow.
And that's, okay, you can, why do you think the whole push with the same-sex marriage was? Because these are all these people who are in love who cannot give them the inheritance. Because the inheritance belongs to the state.
Hmm.
See, and so our inheritance does not belong to us. It belongs to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. No matter how much you like it, don't like him, I think that it's wrong. I think he ought to let us sleep around. I think he ought to let us get high. I think he ought to let us have 55 spouses. I think he ought to let us, you can think God ought to let you do anything you want. He does not care about what you think he ought to let you do unless you are marked for his will, which all of us should be. But here's what I want you to know. God doesn't care about what you think he should do. God expects you to know what he will and will not do and what he can and cannot do in his righteousness. He expects you to operate on his knowledge and not your emotions or your sentiments or your desires. And that's what we are. We're making our desires the qualifier, the criteria for the kingdom's inheritance. And our desires cannot qualify us for the king's inheritance. Only the king's laws. You can talk all day long about it. It's not fair for the IRS to take your money. It's just not fair. We just don't like it. It's not fair that they're making us buy this, spend this. It's not fair that they're denying us this and denying us that. It doesn't matter, because in the grand scheme of things, all of this inheritance doesn't belong to us personally. We have to earn it. We have to qualify it. We have to become eligible. And that's God, and he has a better filtering system than we will ever have. He, all of this, everything that we're saying should be ours, all of that belongs to the government. It does not belong to us. It belongs to the government of God. It belongs to the heaven. It belongs to God's world. It does not belong to us. We are offered the opportunity to partake of it. But we have to continue to meet the terms and conditions of that partaking. And that's what we have misled people. We made people think that all they have to do is feel it, say it, snatch it, take it, and it's so. It's not so, because if that's the case, number one, you wouldn't get old. Come on. So heaven promises you eternal youth. So you got to get there, and they have to give it to you. You just can't demand it. They have to give it to you. You wouldn't get sick. Heaven promised you eternal health. You wouldn't die. Heaven promises you eternal life. Okay, you will, you know, you will get off of the place where it is death and whatever. All of the things that we say shouldn't be are their possessions. They're in their province, not ours. So we still have to find out how to get them to give it to us. Heaven said we don't think we ought to stand a grave, but only heaven can get us out. We don't think we ought to be in hell. Only heaven can get us out. So a lot of this stuff sounds really great, but in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't work. It really doesn't walk in everyday life. And the gospel of truth walks in everyday life, and it shows itself in everyday life. So, you know, actually, I am just too excited. And but anyway, I'm going to let you give me two more points, because I'm sure you must have a point or three to share.
Absolutely. Well, of talking about the Danites and the Amorites, I think that that connection, and I would say revelation for many people who have not put those two things together, of how the Danites were absorbed, and they were absorbed because they didn't do their job, and they wanted to coexist. And thinking about how much we entertain sin, how many things we indulge, what God does or does not say about certain things, when you follow the pattern, because some things about God are just following the pattern. And you can always tell when you want to really get away with doing something you shouldn't do, because then all of a sudden it has to be exact. Where does it exactly say that? But other than that, blanket statements are just fine, and other vague things are just fine. And so when you follow patterns in Scripture, as well as the Scriptures, but also the chain of events, like what happens when this happens, and then that goes, and then that goes, you begin to see a whole other side of the kingdom of God and his mentality. You also see why he says to do or not do certain things, because we make restrictions about punishment. That's pretty much how we think. Someone says, I can't do something, it's a punishment, period. Not that it's actually a preventative. And mm-hmm. I know that elements of your book are going to reveal some of the things that we have deemed punishment as really preventative that God has set in place to preserve.
That's a good word. And because we think everything is punitive, because, and truth be told, you know, it's only punitive in the fact that, if you know, your prescription bottle, your cleaner, whatever, your manufacturers put instructions on you all the time, and they tell you, use it this way. Now, if you don't, this is going to be bad. It's not going to be our fault, because we told you this is how you use it. So if you want to prevent harm and injury to yourself, then you do what we say. Now, if you don't, then you're going to expose yourself to harm, and that harm is going to be a punishment, not that we did, but with the product came along with it. With every upside, there's a downside. So that's a good word. I like that word, the preventatives and the preservatives of the kingdom of righteousness. Excellent.
You can tell I've been hanging out with a certain apostle. I'm starting to find themes and common letters.
Well, you know, I've enjoyed my mentees, and I don't have a lot that are as close as you all are, because, well, proximity, et cetera. But I'll tell you what I do like. I like the fact of knowing that God has deposited this in a young generation that's going to keep this thing. You know, in our Joshua generation scenario, I did a lot of analogies talking about the generation who kept what God did and the generation who surrendered it to his enemies. And so, it, you know, a lot of what we're living with today is the second generation, the second Joshua generation. For whatever reason, they surrendered a lot of mileage, a lot of advantage, and a lot of progress that the Lord Jesus captured over 2,000 years. They surrendered it to his enemy. And so it's going to be interesting to see who this new Joshua generation is, the first one, the capturing one, and not the captive one, because there are two. So anyway, do we have our prophet out there? I know she got to be ready to climb the wall.
I'm sure she is, Prophet Adia. You know she's on the line.
My Lord, that's all I can say. You know, I'm one of the shouters, so I'm kind of glad I'm on mute. I'm glad I'm not around anybody. I have to be able to shout sometimes. So I've done my fair share of shouting today. I just need you to know.
What you shout about, girl?
Oh, well, definitely the last piece talking about, I think I have to definitely do a quotable on, you're talking about the imagery of hell and sin and the shadow of that. Yeah, that one's going down in the books, Dr. Price. I just need you to know. But it's definitely, this is re-listenable. I got to tell your audience, re-listen. You got to go back and catch this again, because as you started getting towards the closing of your opening exhortation, it's just too good not to go back and do a replay on that one. So that's going to get a replay. I encourage you guys to do that. And actually, that's a great lead-in to let you guys know how you can get in touch with the Paula Price Show after today's broadcast. We want you to visit us, www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show after today's program, so that you can actually download today's show and re-listen again and again and again. If you are an iTunes user, you can actually subscribe to Dr. Price's podcast for the Paula Price Show. What that means is you don't have to miss not one powerful week of the Paula Price Show. When you subscribe on your iTunes, each week's show is going to automatically load in your podcast library, so that if you miss a show, all you have to do is log onto your iTunes and visit the show again. So if you're an iTunes user, take advantage of that and subscribe to the Paula Price Show podcast. If you are online with us, make sure you visit Dr. Price's page on Facebook, www.facebook.com. You're going to look her up under Dr. Paula Price or Apostle Paula Price. Make sure you like Dr. Price's page on Facebook for daily inspiration and motivational quotes, her life experience, the things that have gotten her to where she's been. She's been sharing so much of her heart these past months with us on Facebook about triumph, about losing and getting back up again, about success, about the mystery of Christ, our Christ identity, and what makes us so powerful. So you do not want to miss that. Make sure you go to Facebook.com and look up Apostle Paula Price so that you can like her page and be instantly connected to all the good stuff on there. If you're a Twitter follower, visit us on Twitter.com. Make sure you like Dr. or follow Dr. Paula Price on Twitter.com, as well as LinkedIn, LinkedIn.com. Dr. Price has a group on LinkedIn, and you can connect with her on the professional end about the assessments, about what she does for organizations and ministries, corporations. So you want to make sure that you check that out on LinkedIn.com as well. And last but certainly not least, we want to give you a few announcements this morning about what Dr. Price has going on and when you can catch her next. Next month, at the end of the month, April 30th through May 1st, Dr. Price will be hosting the first Executive Apostleship Retreat of the year. She debuted this exclusive retreat for high-level apostolic leaders last year. We're doing it again. We're back with the power. It's going to be an amazing weekend, April 30th through May 1st. If you are interested in attending the Apostleship Retreat exclusively with Dr. Paula Price, we want you to visit us online at drpaulaprice.com. You'll see right there on the homepage the information about the retreat and how you can sign up to be considered to attend. This retreat is by invitation only, so it is not an open registration. We want you to visit us, drpaulaprice.com, and click on I want to attend the retreat. That way we can send you the information that you'll need to come out with us next month. Again, those dates are April 30th through May 1st. Coming up this summer, you do not want to miss the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. It is a three-day training and module for prophets and prophetic types. It is like no other. There is no other event like this out there. The Tulsa Prophetic Forum, June 19th through the 21st. It's going to be held right here in the heart of South Tulsa. It's an exciting time for prophets to get trained. We want you to bring your team. We want you to bring your prophets, bring your intercessory team, bring your worship teams, your psalmists. This event has a plug-in for every prophetic type. It's going to be powerful and dynamic classes during the day and then breakout classes at night. The worship is going to just take you to another level, and the experience is going to be unforgettable. Now, right now, through the 25th, we are still offering our buy one, get one free. You want to take advantage of this. I tell you what, it doesn't get better than this. Buy one, get one free right now when you buy one at our standard rate, which is $125. So for $125, two can go. You can split it however you want to on your end, but grab a friend and take advantage of buy one, get one free. This will end March 25th. Hear me, this is going to end on March 25th. Don't call me on March 26th crying. Get your registration in before the 25th and take advantage of this amazing deal. If you're coming on your own, our individual early bird rate through May 1st, and that's $99. So if you are flying solo, that's just fine. Join us at the early bird rate for $99 as long as you register before May 1st. We want to see you in June. In fact, we're saving a seat for you, so do not miss it, and we will see you at the Tulsa Prophetic Forum.
Now, Nadia, wait a minute. Before you go, don't we have a bus coming out of the Illinois area?
We sure do, yes, yes. From the Joliet area, which is just outside of Chicago, Antioch Christian Assembly is grouping up, and they are bringing a bus of registrants down to the forum. So if you are in the Chicago area, then go ahead and take advantage of getting on this bus. Now, this is not a yellow school bus, y'all. This is going to be a nice travel bus. You're going to travel nice. You're going to be able to save a ton of money on flights and tickets and all that cost of travel. And so what you can do is actually go to Antioch, CACI.org, and you can inquire about getting onto that bus, AntiochCACI.org. Fill out that contact us on there and inquire about getting onto that bus. If you're in the Chicago area, definitely take advantage of that. They'll let you know the dates that the bus is going to be leaving, departing from the city and heading down to Tulsa. I tell you what, Dr. Price, it's probably going to be a little bit of the party bus, because I tell you, those prophets on that bus are going to be so excited coming down here.
Baby, but can you imagine God driving a whole bus of prophets that many hours? Man, I would like to be a fly on the ceiling. But here's something that they can think about. Now, look at what you've said. You've already said that we have this buy one, get one free. Think about it. And you said we've got this $99 special. Now, the most prohibitive thing is always going to be pretty much airport. These people who are in that region can drive to that area. Drive right to where the bus is taking off and get on the bus. Isn't that powerful? Let's say you're an hour away, 2 hours away. Hey, drive to and get on the bus. Two things are going to happen. You're going to save a ton of money. But here's the other thing. You are going to float in the glory of God. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm sure the worship, the praise, because you know, I'm already praying the glory of God to hit the bus. And, you know, my word works. So that the glory of God is going to hit that bus. And I'm telling you, they might be a move right on up in there. So if you're listening to me and you say, you know, I really want to come to that event, then you need to go ahead on, go to the website she just said, AntiochCACI.org, and say, I want a seat on that bus. Whatever you pay, it's round trip. They already told me, because, see, my folk know me. We don't do, like, low class if we don't have to. So It's a luxury bus, I understand, as a coach, and you are going to be very comfortable, and they'll get as many buses as they need. Now, this might be a suggestion for somebody else, because somebody else may be in an area and say, well, you know what, I could do that for my region. And someone else may say, you know, I can do that for my region. And it may not be that far. I mean, you may not want to drive 29 hours or however, although to me, it depends on what you expect God to do. But if you're in this kind of, you know, few-mile radius, come on, what's wrong with that? And helping the saints make it who couldn't otherwise come. So, again, I thought that was a great idea, dear, and I did not want to miss it because I think it's an awesome idea.
Yes, Dr. Clark, it definitely is. And I tell you what, you can also call our office at 877-419-1299 if you want to get connected with the information for the bus. We'll do what we can to connect you with what you need. So give us a call as well if you need to, 877-419-1299. We'll make sure that you get the information you need to get connected with the bus that's coming down from the Chicago area.
Whew, God bless you. All right, dear, see you next time. Ashley, it's on you. Are you back?
I have not gone anywhere. And I tell you what, the bus deal is the way to go, especially if you cannot or just do not want to fly. That $150 round trip, that's less than gas driving. We know because we made the trip more times than we can count at this point. And to be on a luxury ride, let somebody else do the driving, and you can just appreciate it. It's a wonderful, very easy trip anyway. That's going to be powerful. So this year's Tulsa Prophetic Forum is going to be on fire.
I'm telling you, I think you're right, Ashley. That whole idea of just let me help my friends, you know, and let me help my peers or let me help my church or my whatever. If you have a group of intercessors or you want to do that for a group of intercessors, a group of ministers of any kind, my goodness, I think that is just the most amazing thing. So I just didn't want us to end that, our announcements, without bringing that up because I'm looking forward to the forum. And again, I want to tell you, those of you who are high leaders who have a very extensive or expansive mandate, join me at the end of April. You will not be disappointed. If you are a Christian business marketplace minister, if you are a bishop or apostle or apostolic minister of any senior capacity, do not miss it. Continue to check my website, tell you how to sign up, how to be a part of it. I'm looking forward to you. Well, I think, Ashley, we need some announcements, and then we're going to go to our phones.
All right. We'll be right back after these messages.
I wanted to take a few minutes to tell you why you want to get this course. Yes, you want to know who you are. Yes, you want to know what God sent you to do. But it is not enough to know thyself. You need to know those that the Lord has assigned to work with you, to labor with you, to understand you, to hold up your hands, and to understand that they're not just volunteers helping out, but they are fixtures. They are affixed to your commission. They are your fixtures. They're your pillars, your founders, your ground. They're your communicators, your extenders, whatever you want to call them, and it's all of that. You need someone to fit all of those capacities. And so I want you to consider using my brand new teaching, building your commission team, stage one, if you're an apostle or an apostolic minister, because it's all the same. But what distinguishes what this teaching does is not that we're telling people about their ministry. No, we're taking people who are already in ministry or who are predisposed to ministry and who are competent or show potential for competency. And we're telling them, you're assigned to not just help me preach the word or help me spread the word, you're assigned to help me establish something in the earth, build it from the ground up, or fortify it if it's already in existence, and expand it. You want a commission team is about perpetuity, not just performance. And that is what commission training is. So may I encourage you to go to my website and to click, I want this commission team. You can go to ppmglobalresources.com and say, I didn't understand it. Now I know. And it's going to give you a blueprint. And then it's going to give you criteria. And it's going to give you standards. And it's going to give you protocols. But it's also going to give you some policies and procedures as well as practices. And all together, we come alongside you as you begin to identify those that God's called to help you do more than go on a mission. We want to help you identify those who are called to become fixtures of your apostleship commission, of your apostolic commission. Again, that's drpaulaprice.com or ppmglobalresources.com.
Would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence, ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your ministry assessment questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors, who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess, advise, apply, achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Within the business world, assessments have been used for years to make decisions about personal development, hiring, managing, promoting, and leading others. But what about God's business? What can His leaders use to assess their ministries and churches? The answer is PPM Global Resources Standardized Ministry Assessment. Have your ministry organization assessed to find out what kind of church or ministry you have, if you and your organization are on the same page and compatible, how willing and able your members are to take on the vision the Lord gave you, if you have the right people in position to achieve that vision, and if you can help your congregation or organization get into their purpose. Visit www.ppmglobalresources.com today and click on Group Assessment for more information and to get your ministry organization started. Or call 877-419-1299 to speak with a representative. PPM Global Resources. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
And we are back with our second portion of the Paula Price Show on blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. Dr. Price, back to you.
Well, I am glad to be back. I appreciate all of our announcements. I kind of look forward to them sometimes just to let people know we do more than just speak or just preach. What I'm excited about, too, Ashley, is the commission training. You know, that's a real hot button for us, and we've been watching that session grow. So I want to encourage everyone, before I take my first call, when this is over, do two things. Go to my website and ppmglobalresources.com and say I want to take a class for find out about our online school. And then I also want to encourage you to go to the website, go back to Blog Talk. I almost forgot my thought. To go back and re-listen to the program. There is so much wisdom and counsel for you to get. I do a lot of the work for you. So I want to encourage you not to just listen to a show or this week's show, but keep going back. Okay, Ashley, I'm good to go. Give me my first caller.
All right, first caller today is Lakeisha from North Carolina. She's calling back in with a testimony and then also prayer for her family and career directions. Lakeisha, welcome back to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you.
Hello, Lakeisha. How are you doing?
Hey, Dr. Price. I'm fine. How are you today?
I am great. Glad to hear your voice, girl. Do you have something great to tell me or what?
I do. It's such an honor to be back on the phone with you again. I just wanted to just call back and testify about how when I called in over a year ago, and you spoke employment to me, and today marks the first year anniversary of me being on this job. And I just want to just thank God for that. It was just awesome how it just, when you spoke, it just came into existence like almost immediately. And my husband called in not too long ago, and you spoke employment over him as well because he's a student during the day. And he got a job, but it wasn't really what he wanted to do, so he applied for something else. And yesterday we got the confirmation that he starts his new job doing what he wants to do, is second shift, and is 20 cents shy of doubling what he was making on the first job. And this is a job where he can receive benefits, and he can also build, like, longevity on this job. And I was just calling to just let you know, I wanted to just call back and say thank you so much, because what you spoke, it just, I mean, when we first called in over a year ago, we were in such a dark place. I mean, there were things going on, and we just had no revelation. You know, we didn't understand what was going on. We were just under attack, but I just thank God because your words, they were life, and I'm just grateful for the God in you and how you just make yourself available to the people. I mean, I'm just grateful for that. I just thank God. We believe so much in what you're doing. This Blog Talk Radio, this allowing people to call in. We have, my husband and I both have decided to just start partnering with you, the $15 a month for the Blog Talk Radio. We just decided to just go ahead and do that because he was just laying there the other night, and he was like, we have got to just sow back into this woman of God. And I was like, you know what? I said, I was thinking the same thing today. So, I mean, we are partners with you on this because this has changed our life so much. And I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful for you, for the God in you, for your company, and everything that you guys are doing.
Thank you so much for your testimony and your encouragement. I want to congratulate you both on God giving you your fresh start in his kingdom and giving you your share of the commonwealth. And also thank you for reaching back. Often I wonder if, you know, people not think about reaching back, and it's good to hear that there are people like you and a few others that we have on the program, because it's not, you know what it is, it's the harvest also. You know, you all get the harvest on my word, and I'll tell you, sometimes I look for the harvest for what I do as well, so I appreciate that in the name of the Lord, because it is encouraging. So next, you said you needed some prayer.
Yes, I do. I have kind of a tall order today, so but what I know you're up for it, but can I say one more thing about the Blog Talk Radio, if I may?
Yes.
I know a lot of people call in, and when I call in, I don't always talk, because I call in on Thursdays and I just listen, and it's so good, because not just when you called me a year ago, you spoke to me, but since then I've been calling back, and I've just been gleaning from the wisdom and the counsel that you give to other people. So if you don't mind, I just want to just challenge everybody else that's on the line that's listening, or people that have called before, take the challenge and partner. Do the $15 a month, because it's a welcome sacrifice, and I just believe in the work, what you're doing. You don't have to take the time out of your Thursdays and do what you do, but you do, and I just think it's great. So I just wanted to just extend that challenge to the other callers that may be on the line. Just log on and just and partner with us, you know, stand with us with this $15 a month. It's not a lot. So I just wanted to say that.
Well, I appreciate you doing that, and I hope that they do take it. I want everybody to know this is Lakeisha's testimony, and this is her challenge, but I agree with it, because truth be told, I don't often say it, but sometimes I do pray for what the harvest is for me in doing this, because everything you do in God is a harvest. So this was a good day for me. I am encouraged. So
now
for the tall challenge.
Okay. All right. So, everything is going well, like as far as, you know, the jobs and everything is concerned. But my greatest concern right now is my heart is burning for my children. I have a son and a daughter. My son is 19, and I have a daughter that was, she was inherited by marriage, but she's 16. And it just seems, my husband and I have been married for over 10 years, 10 years now, and ever since we've been married, we have just really struggled with this, with our children. And I'm calling for prayer for them because both of them right now seem to be in a dark place. And I have had, well, with my son, I have, you know, I've been through depression, you know, not being able to really do anything. But to God be the glory, he has pulled me out of that, and I'm moving forward now. But I want to pray, I want you to pray for him, and I want you to pray for my daughter as well. And also, I'm building right now a, trying to get my foundation built for my career. And I'm back working full-time because my son is 19 and he's moved out of the house. He was more like a special needs person. I had to really pay a lot of attention to him. So I devoted a lot of my time to him, keeping him, trying to keep him out of trouble. And I didn't really work a lot. So right now I'm just building my career. And I'm going to be taking a practice test really soon so I can teach business courses. And that's the way that I want to go. I want to teach the business courses, but I also want to do something with principalship and counseling. So I ask that you pray for me concerning my practice test and that, you know, that I'll be on the right path as far as my career is concerned. And one more thing, my husband said just a few minutes ago, he said, I really want us to get peace concerning our church, where we are at our church. He's not peace. He doesn't have peace in his spirit about our church where we are right now. We had quite a few things that happened in our church, and I don't know. It's like he's not willing to really stay, I guess, and deal with everything that's going on. But he just wants to have peace. I know that he's a man of God. I know that he loves God. But he's also, he doesn't like to get into a lot of, he likes to just, he won't get into a conversation, but he'll just walk away from it. So, and that's pretty much it.
Well, you're right. Tall order is great.
Yeah,
pretty good. But I want to kind of bounce around a little bit. I'm going to cover your children, obviously. But I want to say this: you said you want to do the practice to teach, and then you want principalship, and you want counseling. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so. Do you have a teaching position, or are you finishing up the training for it?
That's, well, right now I'm working at the central office for the school district. And I'm doing, right now I'm doing the licensure for elementary education and human resources. But my passion has been, you know, working with teenagers and students. Like right now I'm in the central office. I have no contact really with the students. And that's really my heart, what I want to do. Now, as far as my training is concerned, because I have a degree in business, I can just take a practice test, and they will license me to teach business courses. And that's the training that I will need, so that's what I have to take. I'm scheduled to take the practice test on April the 3rd.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, the first thing we're going to do is just thank God for giving you, causing you to blow your practice test out of the water. God wants to do something great in your life, and so he's going to do that. Now, the reason I ask about it, because you say I want to teach, and then I want to do the principal thing, and I want to do the counseling, so it seems like that you have a lot of pieces that all look like they're options, but what I'm hearing is that they're to come together in a single assignment.
Okay.
And so, which means that whatever, you might start out in a public school teacher or whatever, but what I see is you're in some sort of a private environment, a private school environment, whether it's a smaller school or a community school or even a special project where you get to do all of this at once. In other words, some sort of vocational project or vocational environment where you can do all of these, bring all of these pieces together at once. I don't see you doing one single thing because I want to teach, I want to touch the students, but I also want to be a part of organizing and stabilizing the organization. And then I want to be a part of helping them fulfill what they have learned in their career path. So that those almost seem like they're divergent. And they're not. So be open for the Lord to give you, to bring opportunities to you. And there are at least three of them that to bring opportunities to you for you to not go the traditional route. I see God telling you in this scenario, that there is a non-traditional path that he's going to take you to pull all of these together. Now, I'm not telling you to ignore whatever economic opportunity you have right now. What I am telling you to do is to be open to the untraditional way, because you're thinking in one vein, but be open to other ways for God to do that, because it's clear that in your area, God is what has a vocational opportunity for you to bring all of those skills and all of those assets to the job. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so be open to that. So you'll finish your practice. That's going to happen, and you'll do well at it. That's for sure. But what God wants you to do is think a bigger picture, not just a single role, but a bigger picture, because for you to be a principal and to be a teacher requires you to either be to be in a very small school or to have two different jobs in two different ways. So obviously if they're going to be brought together, they need to have to be brought together in a single position where you would be in authority to make those decisions and to do those things. God's going to have you in a building program, a building campaign. It's interesting how you said, I'm building my career. Be prepared for God to entrust you with an opportunity to build something from nothing.
Wow.
And don't balk at it, because you know how you don't like that, but don't balk at it. Okay, because you have a lot of creativity, you have a lot of ingenuity, and you are a woman of great innovation, and you have great ideas. I'm looking in your life, and I'm looking at different pieces of paper that you've written down. If I could, I would. If I had an opportunity, I would. Lord, before I leave here, let me do this. God, if it were possible, I would be happy if I did this. Those are all of those things are God sowing vision in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have some plans. They're rough. Now, these are rough notes. None of them, they're handwritten, and they're rough. And some of them are in, I see some in a wire-bound notebook. I see others that are just scratched off of a pad. And I see another one, which is a little more organized, in a journal that you keep or have kept. I'm looking at it wide open. And in the corner, it says that. And so you have all of this bubbling in your soul. And I tell you the truth, if I were one of those people who were saying, you know what, I need somebody to take this over or to help build this, whether it's a fledgling school, whether it's an underdeveloped school, but you need to have your own vocational school, and you don't need to start it from scratch. You need to work with somebody who's been doing it so that you can help them get back on their feet. Your visions and your ideas are good. And they weren't good when you first did it. I'm looking at some of those ideas going back 12 years, and you've given up on them. But they were not for that time. Your ideas are good, and they're for the now.
Wow.
Did I lose you?
It's a good thing that I listen to this. When I'm at work on my computer, I always listen to blog talks. Okay.
That's the first thing. So, and trust me, you don't have to do a lot of digging to find out where all of these things are, because you're going to come. It's going to come back to you. Even the dream you had, where you saw yourself walking into a facility that didn't make any sense to you, it didn't fit you, and people were looking to you for answers and looking to you for advice, and you in this dream are telling God, "I don't know why these people are. I don't know why they keep asking me. Why do they think I have the answers?"
Wow.
Because you do.
Wow.
Because you have the answers. So I hear the Spirit of God saying to you, be open to a bigger thing. Go whatever you need to do to keep, sustain yourself. I'm not one of those people to say rough it if you don't have to. If it's God's will for you to rough it, there's not a prophet on the planet going to change his mind. But if you have an opportunity to meet your needs, do that. But be prepared. All of those things that you planned, I'm looking at you. This was hot on you up for going back about that time. And then you had one hit after another. You got derailed. You got frustrated. You got all kinds of things. And you lost purpose and you lost your way. And you have been in the dark groping on this single line for a lot of years. But God said those were good ideas. They just were not for that time. Now it's time. So be open, because I don't know if it's a funding thing, somebody with the funding thing, but you are going to get an opportunity to put those things into motion. So when God starts dropping seeds in you, stop and write them down. and he starts giving you ideas, just write them down because you are getting ready to enter the best part of your life.
Wow.
It's this time. You know, it's time. All of the tears you shed, you know, even in terms of your marriage, you know, the difficulty you had in them early years, folks not believing in it, thinking it shouldn't be, you not thinking you should do it. Come on, house. Come on, baby. It was hard for y'all. I mean, the fact that y'all made 10 years is to the glory of God because you all have ridiculous opposition. But the Holy Ghost is saying to you, now the better years are coming. Now everyone is going to see why he put you two together. And it's getting ready to get real sweet for you in your marriage. You know, even the difficulty with your children will subside because the conditions under which this happened were not the most favorable, but they were predestined. In other words, they were accounted for in both of you all's predestiny. So God is getting ready to do some major miraculous things for you all. So know that. As far as your husband is concerned, he may not want to fight, but God is not going to release you all from this church until you pray for it. And God said, I want you to pray for this work. Literally, pray for this work. Because we forget, especially when you're in the pew, you come to church to receive. You come to church to be edified. You come to church to get, to take, to drink, to whatever. But there are times that the fountain gets in trouble. There are times that people throw garbage in the well. And so you don't just cap a fountain because the water needs to be purified. You find a way to get something clean into the system. In your case, you all need to pray for this work. God is very concerned about your church. Concerned about it. And he's concerned about something that has gone on this long in that church and nobody seems to be able to break the seal on it or make heads or tail out of it. God said to tell you, pray for this church. He said, I've been good to you. He said, and if this church were your children, you wouldn't talk about leaving, you'd talk about praying. You have wrestled for your kids. Now wrestle for something that's important to God. And as you wrestle for this, God will reach forth his hand and do a work in your children's hearts. So the last thing you want to do is abandon something that's near and dear to his heart. So I don't know where your husband is, but just encourage him. Tell him, just pray. He doesn't have to take it on. He does not have to get involved in it. If he doesn't want to speak to it, that's fine. Don't do it. But understand that, and I pray the body of Christ gets this, God is sick of the bashing of his church. He finds it offensive. It's wounding his soul because effectively it's telling him that something that he built and something that's near and dear to his soul is not worth the effort and that it is not a quality thing. And that's the message Satan has fed the body of Christ globally. Oh, this is not anything. Nobody does. The church is going to die. The church is going under. Who do you think is saying that? It's not certainly Jesus Christ because the church is his body. So who do you think needs us to buy into that? Let us all come together as the body of Christ and care about this man's work and care about the people who had the guts to take on something that they knew was a losing deal, that they knew was a defeating battle. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you think about it, you're taking on a project. For us taking on Christianity, we're taking on something we already know is hated. We're taking on something we already know Satan can't stand. We're taking on something we already know the world wants to. But that's great. That's what makes us unique and special because we're undaunted by opposition. And we have something in us that tells us we can bring something good out of the evil. We can make something bad turn useful. We can make something unprofitable very profitable. So do not allow him to do that to your brain and to your family. You need God to be in your corner, but he said right now to tell you, and he calls you my beloved daughter.
Wow.
He said, my beloved daughter, I need you to be in my corner on this one. Don't throw in the towel yet. Whatever's going on in that church is getting ready to come to a head, and it's going to die. But that thing is going to die, and God's going to be able to restore this work. But do not allow the enemy to talk you into being a weapon in his warfare.
Right.
Okay, right. I know that makes sense to you. And then I want to talk about your son and daughter. I'm just going to pray for them because your son came into this relationship with a huge ball of rejection around his neck. I just see this. It's like a slab, a stone slab on his heart, which makes it impossible for him to feel. He can hardly feel anything.
Wow.
And he feels weighed down with something. Now, and interesting, this thing is, it's about, if I'm looking at the slab, it's about, it's like concrete. It's not even concrete, it's stone. And it's about maybe 3.5 to 4 inches thick. It's hanging on a thin rope, which means it's not the rope that's holding it, it's his will.
Wow.
As a shield. Something broke his heart when he was a youngster. I'm looking at him about 7 years old, maybe. But when he was, it broke his heart, and he just won't feel. So we're going to pray God to begin to touch him. And the daughter just feels like she's invisible to the world.
Mm-hmm.
She feels like she doesn't matter. You know, she genuinely feels like she doesn't matter. She's like, well, you know, I don't matter. So however that happened in you all's early days when you and your husband were fighting to make this thing work, they picked up the wrong messages. But aren't you as a Jesus in the world?
Oh, my God, yes.
Because he says to tell you, he promised you that your seed would not be lost. He promised you that your child would not be lost. He promised you both that if God kept them in him, he would keep them for you. You're going to have to right now put your faith on that promise. God made you both promise. And this is not so long ago, but he made you both a promise that he was going to take care of what concerns you. That is why the enemy wants to get you out of your church and off of that promise. But you're not going to do that. So you're going to pray, and I'm going to pray for your family. Father, I thank you, Holy Ghost. You are a good God. You're a wonderful God. You're a faithful God. And so, Lord, I thank you, first of all, for this family. I thank you for their love for you, their care for you, their concern for you. And, God, I'm asking that you bless this family. I come against the spirit of division. I come against the spirit of abduction that are trying to take these children out of your care, God, and I halt and arrest them. I return them spirit, heart, soul, and body to the kingdom of Christ and to the household of faith. God, I'm asking that you would deliver this son from this weight on his heart. God, visit him by your spirit and connect him with godly young men who can help him find his way and tap into that thing that he has hidden from everybody. And God, I ask that you do the same thing to the daughter. Lord, I command the spirit of isolation that they feel to be destroyed. Let them feel their parents' love. But God, give these parents a special gift. Give them a window into their souls that they may know how to pray, that they may know what they're dealing with, and that they may have the right answers. And I'm asking, God, that with this window, you give them the wisdom to answer and to address their children as you would, not even as they feel, as you would, that we can restore them to your heart and into their family. And I bless you for doing it in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, when it comes to her job and her career, I thank you for giving her total recall for that praxis. And then, Lord, I'm asking that you would begin to move by your spirit and set up the circumstances to fulfill your will and to perform your word as it has been revealed to us today in Jesus' almighty name. Let it be so. And let it be swift. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I'm glad you called. And you're going to keep me posted because you're going to get a wonderful career opportunity. It's going to be great. And you're going to keep me posted. And then, of course, believe in the Lord your God.
Amen.
And you be established. Belief is profit, and so will you prosper. This
amen.
Is your hour to prosper.
Amen.
God bless.
God bless you. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Amen. Prophet.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
That was wow, good. Wow, wow. Is that a good wow?
Huh?
Is that a good wow?
Oh, yes. That was rich. That was really good. All
well,
right. Are you ready for someone else?
Well, almost. But I was going to say she has such a good life. I just want to say to all of my listeners today and those of you who are going to listen to me in the future, Let's start a revolution. Let's stop bashing the Church of Jesus Christ. We're going to have a let the gates of hell fail against the church revolution. We're going to command failure on the gates of hell. And we're going to stop bashing this man's church. My new request for today. All right, now I'm ready for my next call.
All right. We have Diane from Pennsylvania. She is calling for prayer for her life. Diane, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hi, welcome. Well, hi, how are you?
Well, why don't I welcome you, Diane? How are you doing?
I'm. You know what? I'm doing great. I'm a little tongue-tied because this whole, from the exhortation to the first call, has just really ministered to me. I don't even know where to go now, but I'm just going to I'm gonna try my best to get my supplications here out and request that made known.
Amen.
But I'm calling him. I'm sorry, I didn't.
No, I said I'm set. I'm ready to roll with you.
Yes, ma'am. I've called them before, and the last I've been married since then, and I've moved. I'm now here located in McKeesport with my husband. And the first set of instructions, I'm going to be honest, I was just so rebellious, and I halfway did it, and I've suffered some consequences for that, and I'm calling in because I made a decision to really just move forward in the Lord, to pray. However, I just keep sabotage myself, and I don't know how to, I just need prayer for that cycle to be broken so that I want consistency in my life, in my prayer life, with my husband, with my family. At the beginning of this year, it was really difficult because I did not know that God had suggested, told me to do this, but it's, you know, I'm ready to just do the things of the Lord, so just need prayer.
Okay. I didn't hear a lot of what you said. You're out like the wind is.
I am. Yes, it is. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's a lot better, but because the wind cut off a lot of what you said, and I want to make sure that I tell you where I went off. I dropped off. I dropped off in the fact that you keep sabotaging your life, and you don't know why, and you want to get back on track. And then you started to tell me what that was, and then you got cut off.
Well, it's like the biggest thing is that God will tell me to do things, and since I've been saved, it's just been consistent sabotage. Either I don't do it, it's just like constant. I get to a certain point, I won't say I've arrived, but it's something that always happens, and I really want my prayer life to be consistent. I just want consistency, and I know it's me. I don't even know what it is. It's just to be consistent in the Lord, just to follow his instructions and his rules, and it's just a lot. But that's mainly it, because I have to lay down my life for my family, and as far as prayer, and I just need prayer. I don't know what it is.
Okay, let me ask you a question. So I'm gonna let's even get to the heart of this. You said now when you got married, did you inherit a family with this marriage?
Well, we were reconciled. We were divorced, and we finally reconciled our marriage last year. And I moved here because my husband at the time, and he still is. He's going to be taking classes to start back working and to start back working again because he has been off of work due to disability. And when we remarried, it was just some things that God had told me to do before the reconciliation, and I did not do it. And now I made a decision to really be obedient, and I just don't want to continue to keep sabotaging where I am.
Okay. Now, how long have you been saved with the Lord? I mean, because, you know, sometimes saved and with the Lord could be two different numbers. But how long have you been with the Lord?
I received Jesus at the age of 18, but I really started following him, I want to say, about 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Now, let me ask you, is it all right for us to walk a little journey here? Can we do that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Before then, what kind of spiritual life did you have? before you came back to court?
Well, I was involved in a church for a number of years, and really it was an apostolic church. At that time, my husband and I, we were married. He had became pastor at another church, and I just didn't want to follow where he was. It was just so many things going on between our marriage that I decided to join another church. Back in 2012, just trying to cut this short, that church went through a lot, and 2012, I wound up leaving because it was just a lot going on. Personally, with me, I had an emotional breakdown, and it was then that God began to really minister to me personally and really talk to me about my marriage, talk to me about myself, and ever since then, I've been seeking, trying to seek His face as best as I can. It's kind of cold out here, so.
I'll try to rush you through to pray. But here's what I want to say to you, quite frankly. Two things I'm picking up. Number one, I pick up another kind of spiritual activity. I don't know if you checked into some other kind of faith, some other religion, some sort of spiritual, supernatural thing, but I'm picking that up. That's number one, and you might have done it inadvertently. And number two,
what
happened?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last part.
Oh, no, I was going to say, no, I thought you were answering me. And so the other part that I hear is that even in the midst of that, part of that had you resist and resent the Lord and His church and resist your husband's calling. And so, see, you were dealing with your husband, and so you didn't realize you and God were fighting. You had a problem with God. You didn't feel God was worth it. You didn't feel He was worth the time, et cetera. And so in doing so, whatever this other spiritual thing is, it came in and brought a root of rebellion in your heart. And not only rebellion, but distrust and disappointment. So you're still wrestling with how God is.
Hmm.
Because in your mind, He's a good God, but He's a good God religiously. You have yet to have that meaning. That's what happened to you a couple of years ago. God started taking Himself off the pages, off the wall, and off the church program and standing before you. And He's challenging you today. You want God to do some things, but you have got to go back to the altar. You and the Lord have had a big fight. Y'all really are at odds. And even though you love Him and He loves you, kind of like you and your husband, y'all loved each other, still got divorced.
That's true.
Isn't that something? And you also divorced God somewhere along the way. So you need to go back to Him and say, now, Lord, I misunderstood a lot of things. I was young. I was frustrated. You had big dreams that didn't happen. You had big plans that got shipwrecked. I mean, you were hot. You were really hot because you are a dreamer and you're a doer. But see, you and God went at odds with something you wanted to do that wasn't in His timing. And I can go and say a lot of other things, but I won't because I know you're cold. But here's what I want to say. You're going to have to go back to the altar. Not to the altar, just the way you went back to church. Well, I went back to church. That's fine. God's like, I'm glad you came to visit, but we still got something to talk about.
That's true.
So He's not going to take you just showing up at church and just coming in, sitting down to dinner, not talking to Him. He wants you to church is great. You need that. But here's what God wants. I want you to come back and tell me why you got so angry with me that you treated me like I'm not God. I want you to tell me what I did to tick you off so that you would treat me that way. And then I want you to come and tell me how you think I should react to it. And the last thing I want you to say to me, my beloved daughter, because you are His baby girl, but you're a hothead, and He knows that. You're like Moses. You know, Moses was a hothead. You don't realize that. But Moses was a hothead. He said, but now I want you to tell me, what are your plans for us going on and me feeling favorable to you again? Those are where you and God are. Because wherever He started with you, it was a sweet relationship that wounded Him. And you cut Him deeply. And He says, I'm willing to resume, just like you were willing to resume your marriage. But we are not going to resume without you and I facing some hard facts. Now, I don't know if that's what you expected from today, but I want you to understand that's why you can't finish. The Lord prayed and his and that power for you to do things. He's like, no, no, you haven't done enough for me to take a vested interest in what you're doing right now, because I'm not interested in all of that. I'm interested in you and me. He is interested in you and him. I want you to tell me how we, if you gave any thought to how we're going to go forward.
Wow.
Because until you do, until God becomes that person that you wounded instead of the religion that you offend or you rejected, you and God are never going to go forward. And right now, you're dealing with his religion instead of him. And he against you. So that's where you all are. So I'm going to pray so you don't catch cold out there. But go back online and listen to this again, because I said a lot. And I want you to realize that so that you can get back in your place in him. But you have got to stop treating God as if he is an annoying religion and start deal with him as the Redeemer who saved your soul.
Amen.
Father, thank you so much for Diane. Thank you for her life. Thank you for her victory. God, thank you for her guts. She's a gutsy lady. And God, I thank you for building her up now. Lord, according to the words and the prescription that you have given me to give to her by your Spirit, I'm asking that you perform each word, that you conform it, that you confirm it, God, and then that you begin to establish the terms, conditions for you and her to resume conversation, to resume talking, and Lord, so that you can deliver her soul and bless her life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Prophet?
Cold out there.
I know. I had to hurry up and get out there because I don't want her to get a cold while she's trying to get healed.
Okay.
Well, hey, I got time for one more.
And I have one. This is Desiree calling from California, and she's calling for direction. Desiree, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hi, Dr. Price. How are you?
I am fine, Desiree from California. That's right. Make us all feel jealous.
Well, I won't make you feel that jealous. It's nice, but it ain't sunny today. So.
Okay. You've got the warmth. Now that we can put them together. Hey, Desiree, are you in school? Is there some sort of test or some sort of exam or something that you're looking, trying to get into or doing? Because I'm all of a sudden I heard your name and I thought she's. You're supposed to be doing some sort of professional exam or something. What's up?
You know what? I talked to you in the beginning of the year, and you had told me, the biggest thing you told me was to be open. And we had talked about marketplace ministry, and I had told you that, you know, I had gotten my BA degree, and I kept thinking it was in ministry, and you were like, no, it's going to be ministry and work. It's going to be combined. And, you know, so my whole thing was be open, you know, and so I feel like I'm in a whirlwind right now. I listened to your teaching a couple weeks ago, and you were talking about, are you at the right church? And right now, God is totally like, oh, man, he's just transforming, like, I think my thinking, taking me out of the box, and I'm just like, I just need, like, direction and some prayer, because I've been at this church that I've been at for about almost 20 years. I used to work in the church, in the office, in the ministries, and so now he's, for the last couple of years, I've been kind of like at another church, you know, with spiritual leaders that are bishops, that are prophets, and that type of thing. So God is definitely opening my eyes to a different, I guess, the spiritual side of it, I guess I would say, and opening my eyes to that. And the church that I'm at is like a faith-based church, and they speak in tongues. They believe in healing and that type of thing, but they don't really deal a lot with the prophetic. And I think God is kind of like opening me up to that. And so I'm just in a difficult place because I kind of feel that it's maybe my time to leave that church. But even though they're family, I kind of think God has me in transition right now.
Now, which church, the 20-year church is the family church or the charismatic church is the family? Which one?
The 20-year-old church is the family church.
Okay. Okay, the 20-year-old, I assume, but, you know, I've learned not to assume with the saints, you know. But 20-year church is a family church, and you're interested in going to the one where they are moving by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wanted to make sure I clarified that. And to be honest with you, after 20 years, if you feel God is moving you, come on, what's the worst that can happen is that you grow up in God. You feel God is calling you that to that place then that is fine. Usually I would say something different, but to be honest with you, the bubbling in your soul, I'm looking at your spirit right now, and your spirit is like an effervescent well, and it's bubbling up, and then there's somebody, every time it gets ready to bubble, there's this black little black disc that puts over it, and then you finally get it to bubble up, and it has this little black disc that puts over it. And so God wants to give you, release your fountains, your rivers of life in your soul, in your spirit, and he wants to release that fountain. And for whether it's your religious belief or whether it's you trying to share what's going on with somebody in your old church world and they keep clamping it down, you're not going to get where you have to go. Even the answers to life are in that bubbling. It's in that fountain in your spirit, and it's not able to come up because, well, you can't. So you need to put yourself in this other environment, even if it's just enough to hear God. I want to tell you something, and I say this to people all the time. I trust Jesus Christ about where to place his body. That's my number one rule. Some people belong in a traditional church. Some people belong in a denominational church. Some people belong in a Catholic church. Some people belong in prophetic, apostolic, or any one of the fivefold. You know, some people belong in a little fellowship. So wherever he places his body, where he places people is where they are. So I don't have a pet, you know, I don't have a pet church camp. I just don't. I never have from the moment that Jesus told me that everything that calls on his name, he's responsible for. So he's got to do it. But I will say to you this, having laid that foundation, not everything is an open portal for God's voice.
Right.
Some people are flat. Some churches are flagship vanguards. They're going to keep the guard. They're going to keep it going, and that's a good thing. Some people are foundation. Others are pillars. But the bottom line for us is you have to know who is going to let God speak. Because there are some people who want God to just write. There are some people who want God to just dramatize, show pictures. Not everybody wants God's voice. And so you need God, you need a place where they can open up the voice of God to you. And you need a place that's going to allow this well springing up in you to come forth. Because the answers you're looking for even in your life won't make sense. I can give you 1,000 prophecies. You're going to go back in there, that environment, and the same guardians over that environment are going to block you. So I think that in your case, You do need to migrate to the next place because you need, I don't know what it is, there's a dance ministry that's supposed to be happening with you. I just see you really getting in something along those lines, but there's a business treatment you can't receive because you can't hear. Now, you're getting inklings of it. It's showing up in your mind, thoughts in your mind. As a matter of fact, you rebuke your thoughts a lot because you think it doesn't.
That's so true, and that's why I thought it was me.
You just have to go with it, letting the Lord speak. I understand, baby, because you try to hear God, and every time you turn around, they tell you God doesn't talk. Okay? And you know, I have one word for the people who say that. No, he doesn't talk to you. Now finish that sentence. He doesn't talk to you, but he's talking to other folks. So you're getting ready to get blessed. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I break off the old anointing. I break off the familial, denominational ties and strongholds that have brought her this far, only to release her to go to the next level. God, we don't condemn or vilify the church that she was in. I bless that church. I bless that I bless the pastors. But now, God, we thank you for taking her to her next place of blessing. And, God, blessing her in that land. I thank you for giving her ears to hear, opening up her ears to hear you, and feeding her famished soul with what she needs to go forward in you. Lord, I thank you that you're going to rain on her the bread of heaven, so that she can be nourished by your spirit directly as opposed to indirectly. And we bless you for doing it, Holy Father, in the omnipotent name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Price. And I do receive that. That totally speaks to my spirit.
Thank you. And be at peace. We will talk soon, I'm sure.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless.
Okay.
Prophet?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, here's the high. This is always your challenge, Ashley. What is your challenge?
Oh, what, at the end of the show?
Yes, we've got like 7 minutes.
Right.
I almost want to know what to do with 7 minutes. As a matter of fact, we can't even use all seven of them. We can only use 5 of the 7.
That's right. So you say your closing thoughts.
And I was going to ask you, because I've preached already. I'm thrilled, you know. But I would like to say that you're right, Ashley. I do have a couple of closing. I'll leave you 2 minutes. How's that? Because I really do like. Do you appreciate that? So you had a little something to say. Is that what you're trying to tell me? I want to say to everyone listening, and this is a sober admonishment, shake off the spirits of darkness or the gates of hell that's trying to get you to partner with the world and partner with darkness to destroy Jesus' work. This is this man's body. I know the institution may need a little sprucing up, the religion might need a little revamping, but understand, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and his love and his passion is his church. He so loves his church, he named it his wife. He calls it his bride. Now, who in the world in their right mind wants to destroy their bride? Think about it. How many men listening today would want somebody to walk up in their house and brutalize their wife? How many husbands wives want to see that happen to their husband? And yet we encourage that to happen to our king and to his work, to his house. And so I would like to encourage you all, let's have a quiet revolution. Stop bashing the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just have a quiet revolution. We're not going to rebuke anybody. We're not going to go and have all of these fanfare. We're just going to have a quiet revolution. We're going to begin to revere this man's work and revere his church and his passion. His church is his passion, and we're going to reveal his passion again. As we're coming up on the Resurrection Sunday season, I think that this is a good time for us to say we are not bashing our Lord's church. It's not perfect, but neither is the job that you go to every day. Neither are those family gatherings that you can't stand going to, but you make yourself go to. Neither is the neighborhood that you can't wait to get out of. There are many, many, many things in life that are less than perfect, and we're not trying to destroy them. Why is it that the only thing that's fair game and that is not under the Protected Species Act is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Nobody's trying to destroy any other religion, just that one. Just that one. So today, that is my admonishment. Let's honor what this man has done. Let's honor his church. He's our Savior. He's our God. He's working it out. And let's get behind him and give him support as he works it out. Now, Ashley, it's on you.
Well, as always, Dr. Price, you do not disappoint, and the God in you, of course, does not disappoint. So thank you for another powerful show. Again, visit drpaulaprice.com today, tomorrow, and every day. Something new is always happening in the world of Dr. Paula Price. God bless you, and we'll hear you again next Thursday.
Hi, men. This is Dr. Paula Price, host of the Paula Price Show, reminding you to revisit last week's program at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price, thanking you for joining me on this week's show. I want to remind you that the counsel and wisdom, the prayer and prophecy that you enjoy today does not have to end with today's program. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show and join tens of thousands of people who re-listen to my program every week. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, and you can relive the experience every single day. God bless you.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.